Well, today we're going to be looking at the subject, the glory of God. Now, we oftentimes use the expression, give God the glory, almost as if God is dependent on us for his glory. And we realize that God does not need our glory or our recognition. He has that glory within his own character, within his own being. Now, certainly we as creatures are to recognize and let others know about Jesus that they might glorify him. But that glory resides within his own person. He is in need of nothing, unless we would then say that he is not God. Now, the word glory, I want us to look at a couple of scriptures. And the first is in the Old Testament, the second is in the New. And we're going to be looking at Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 8. Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 8. Listen to the words. The Lord says, I am the Lord. And that's the word self-existing one. I am the Lord. That is my name, and my glory will I not give to another. That's a shocker, isn't it? There are so many things that are trying to vie and to distract our attention and our time and our recognition of priority. So many things in this world. The Lord says, I am the Lord, that is my name. I'll not give my glory to another. Let's just take a moment and think about how often we do that. We can substitute recognizing God for who he is and place our emphasis and our attention on possessions and people and power and recognition and peer pressure, and all of these things that have a tendency to motivate us and distract us. Even problems can cause us, am I not right, to take our focus off of the Lord. And even in our worship, when we come to church, we can oftentimes come to church and our big emphasis is how we look or how we're received, or are we recognized, or what did people think of my lesson, or my sermon, or my special that I sang, or what do people think of me? And we focus our attention. And the Lord says, my glory will I not give to another. Look at another scripture in Ephesians this time. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21. The Word of God says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout the ages, world without end. Amen. You know, the glory of God is the beauty of his Spirit. It's not an aesthetic beauty. When we talk about the glory of God, we're not talking about aesthetic or material beauty, but that beauty, that glory that emanates from his character and his holiness. That's why when it says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What that verse is saying is apart from Jesus Christ, we can never be accepted by God or understand all of his glory. God's glory can only be achieved through the righteousness of his Son, and we must be dressed in the righteousness of Jesus, or else we fall short of the glory of God. Now, on this subject of the glory of God, tonight we're going to view the expression of God's glory in three concentric circles. kind of like a bullseye has concentric circles that go outward from the bullseye center. We're going to be looking at bringing glory to the Lord, first of all, as individuals. And then we're going to go to the next concentric circle, bringing glory to the Lord as a local church. And then further yet in concentric circle, we're going to be looking at glory to God as the body of Christ, the church collectively. And this hymn that we have just sung, The Church's One Foundation, one of the reasons I enjoy that hymn so much is that that hymn elevates us from the ethnocentric preoccupation that we have of our own local church, and it elevates us towards a recognition of what God is doing in His worldwide body, the corporate body of believers who know Him, who may not always have our practices and our cultures and our cultural preferences, but yet are part of the body of Christ. Well, let's look as individuals, first of all. Number one, as individuals, we are to seek to bring glory to God. Now, please don't misunderstand, again, my usage of that phrase, bringing God the glory. He possesses all of the glory. We must recognize it, and we must lead others towards recognizing it. But when we give God glory, it isn't that He's deficient, okay? And we must understand that concept. But there are three ways that I want to highlight this aspect of bringing glory to God individually in our own shoe leather where we're living right now individually. And I'm talking about you, talking about me. How can we bring glory to God? Well, first of all, when we come to Jesus Christ, number one, we need to recognize that we have a new purpose. It's a new purpose that we have. Before we were saved, we lived to gratify the flesh, to gratify our desires in the world. But now we have a new purpose. The scripture is 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 15. In 2 Corinthians 5:15, it says that we are no longer to live for ourselves. 2 Corinthians 5:15, that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. 2 Corinthians 5:15 tells us that we're no longer to live for ourselves. And really, our lives before we knew Christ as Savior were living for ourselves, our own gratification, our own way, the way that seems right unto man. But now, we're to glorify the Lord. We have a new purpose. And it's a vertical purpose, not a horizontal purpose. Our vertical purpose is to bring glory to God. We not only have a new purpose, but number two, as individuals, we need to recognize not only a new purpose, but we're to have a new passion. And you know what that new passion is? It's the passion that Paul spoke about in Philippians 1:21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. We have a new passion when we come to Jesus Christ. And Philippians 1:21 says that passion is not inward, but it's vertical to our Lord, to live for Him. We also not only have a new purpose and a new passion, but we can glorify God as individuals by recognizing that we are to have a new priority. And you know what that priority is? To recognize that we are ambassadors for Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20 puts it this way. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. What's an ambassador? An ambassador is a governmental agent representing his own country, and in our case, the president. We have many, many embroilments in this world today, don't we? You look at North Korea. You look at Iran. You look at the Arab nations in the Middle East. And above all, we need to see to it that we represent our nation and her interests as her leadership would seek to guide her. And we are ambassadors for the Lord, it says, for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. So you see, we're to bring glory as individuals to God. Okay, we do so because we have a new purpose and a new passion and a new priority. But now, let's go to the next concentric circle. We are to bring glory to the Lord as a local church, a corporate body of believers. We need to recognize that as a local church, we represent our Lord and we represent one another. Interestingly enough, this may shock you, but did you know that the church is not about us? It's not about you. The church is not about you. Sometimes we have the tendency to think that, you know what? Everything in the church needs to be to my liking. You might come to my house and find out that you don't like the color of my house. You might say, boy, it looks like Paramore Street. Boy, it looks like a ghetto. Well, look at this. It looks, that's awful. That's an awful color. Well, it's yellow, light yellow. So I think most of you would like that color. It probably wouldn't offend you. But what I'm getting at is this. The church is not about ourselves. Someone might sing a hymn and individuals might be gloriously blessed by it, but it might leave you deadpan. But if the church isn't just about you, that's not going to be a problem because you're glad that others were blessed. A sermon might ecstatically be a blessing to you and to someone else. Well, I heard all that before. That's not anything new to me. But the point is, individuals that say the church isn't just about me, but it's the collective need, they'll say, you know what? Praise God. Souls were blessed, and perhaps more so than mine own, but thank the Lord, we were blessed. The church is not about us, it's about Jesus. Colossians 1:18 says that in all things he might have the preeminence. You all remember a man called Diotrephes who sought to have the preeminence in the epistles of John. Well, you see, we get into all kinds of problems when men, be they pastors, be they elders, be they deacons, be they church members, whatever, seek to have the preeminence rather than the Lord, you see. But as a local church, we are to seek to bring glory to God. And the church manifests the glory of God to this world. That's why Jesus prayed in his glorious high priestly prayer that they may be one, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19. This matter about the church now. We've seen that we're to bring glory to God individually, but now as a local church, look at Ephesians 2 verse 19. The Bible says in verses 19 through 22, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. We're built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. And we're to have our part to play in revealing God's glory to our community. And you know, one of the best ways that we can do that is through the proclamation of our Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 1:23, it says, "We preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness." You want to know why you turn on the news and you hear what you do about biblical morality? Do you want to see why there is so much bottle throwing and hatred against those who would lift up the banner of biblical morality, the unchanging morality that represents God's glory? I'll tell you why. It's because it's a stumbling block to the Jews and it's foolishness to the Greeks. And those two groups, Jews and Greeks, represent everyone in the entire world. A stumbling block, a rock of offense. And it's going to be that way, and we need to expect that to be the case. But through the proclamation of Jesus Christ, we can bring God's glory to our community. We need to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to make disciples, as Matthew 28 and verses 19 and 20 teach. We're to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things. Did you read that? That's a lifetime job description for the local church. We are to teach to observe all things, not just the so-called essentials or what we deem to be hobby horses, but in balance, all truths of God's Word. Be they soteriological, salvation, or eschatological, prophetic, all of them are part of the Christian life. Now, we've seen how we're to bring glory to God individually and then as a local church. Now let's look at the body of Christ collectively that we're to seek to bring glory to God in. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. This is the third way that the church is to give God glory. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Okay, 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. The Word of God says, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood." This is all part of the new covenant now. "A holy nation, a peculiar people." That's speaking of the body of Christ collectively. "That you should show forth the praises of Him who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light." And here you have the nature of the Christian life. We go out of darkness and into His light. What are the traces of darkness that are still in our lives that maybe we've never really dealt with in our Christian life? That stronghold of a temper or anger, the stronghold of lust, the stronghold of evil thinking or jealousy or whatever it might be. We are to go out of darkness and into His marvelous light and thereby show the praises of Him. As the body of Christ collectively, we bring glory to God as He changes our lives. And you know, I think of the words of Titus when it says that we eagerly await our Savior's return. That's another way that we bring glory to God. Living as if this could be the day. It says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Titus 2:13. So as we conclude our lesson tonight, God's glory, I assure you, is going to be revealed with or without us. Central Florida Bible Church has been given a stewardship by God, and we want to be remaining faithful to that stewardship. And unless the church is built upon the good news of the gospel, it's not going to be built around the right foundation. Because 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, "No other foundation can any man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus." So let's keep our eyes on giving God the glory, that others might recognize him and come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for the privilege that we have of coming before your throne of grace. And Lord, it's not of us, but all of you. And Lord, you've dressed us in the righteousness of your Son and given us a stewardship of allowing others to recognize your glory through our message and, Lord, through our lives. Lord, may we lead others to worship you. May we redeem the time. Give us, Lord, in those three areas, individually, as a local church, and as the body of Christ, as we take part in missions and help other pastors to reach people in other parts of the world. Lord, may we bring you glory through all of those means by your power and your glory. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.